Once again, 866-546-5254. I really haven't touched on the Scott McClellan thing today. And not very much on the primary. As you know, Montana and South Dakota are taking place today. And I don't know if either of them are any consequence. No offense to the folks in South Dakota and Montana. Lovely states both. God, both of them got some wonderful things there. Mount Rushmore, South Dakota, and of course in Montana, my favorite place in America, really, is Glacier National Park and Browning, Montana, and all that area right through there. God, what a beautiful place. Bozeman, Butte, and just a lot of really great places right through there. Big state. Man, when you start driving across Montana, oh boy. Butte, Bozeman, and just a lot of really neat places there. There's mining in Montana. There's farming and ranching, and of course up around Browning now, it's getting to be quite a place for rich folks to put a home up around there. Well, you couldn't ask for more beautiful scenery. Most certainly not. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about Scott McClellan. And I know many of you have seen the interviews he's done. He's been on the Good Morning America show. He's been on Chris Matthews' show. I believe he was on O'Reilly show last night. I didn't see that. I got to see what else? What other show was he on? But he's been on. He's been hitting all the shows. And we even tried to get him on this show, but probably a bit early for that. He'll start doing radio maybe in a couple of weeks after he gets done with all the TV shows. I know he's a busy guy right now, and we'll get him on sooner or later. I know his people at his publishing house, and we'll be able to do that. But he apparently, and I don't know how you feel about this. I've got mixed feelings about Scott McClellan. I really do. He apparently didn't realize, he says, that his boss and his mentor, Junior Bush, was, let's say it like he was, a bald-faced liar. And he was a true believer, McClellan was. He was. And it's fascinating to me that people like Scott McClellan and others are in an administration like this, and the thing I wonder about is, and I think it's coming to light through Scott McClellan, are they taken up in this movement? Are they taken up in this insanity by an administration like this so much that they're able just to look right over reality and not understand what the real world really is? Are they so much of on so much of a mission that they think they walk on water and everybody else is stupid? Evidently so. Do they ever think that they're involved in things that are totally devious and dishonest? I don't think so. But why is it a guy like Scott McClellan, why would he not realize, or why did he wait so long to expose some of this stuff? That's why I'm having a hard time having sympathy for the guy. I really am. Had it been me, and I know it's easy to say this, but people that know me know how stubborn I am. Had it been me in the middle of this, and Scotty is saying that he was reservations about stuff that was going on while he was in the administration, and some things that he thought was wrong, and they were going to war too quickly, and how he had to go out every day and defend the Bush administration's policies. Had it been me, and had it been many of you, people with consciences, why not just stand up and say, No, I will not stand for this. I will not be part of this. I resign. And go public right then and there. Now, I understand he had a family to feed, and I understand by that point maybe he was disillusioned. But wouldn't that be the time to do it? I appreciate the fact that he's come forward now. I really do. But it would have been a thousand times more powerful had he come forward then and said something, and perhaps he, just little old Scott McClellan, could have prevented much of what has happened. Maybe if he had come forward then and had the courage and the guts to stand up in front of the American public, instead of standing at the press conferences and shooting bullshit at people from the Bush administration, maybe if he had quit and been interviewed on the evening news and had been man enough to stand up and say, this is wrong, I've been on the inside, I see what these people are doing, it's a lie, they're taking us into a war that we should not go into. Maybe, just maybe, we wouldn't have 4,000 people dead now. 4,085 as of today, I believe it is. And how many hundred thousand Iraqis? That is why I'm not having a whole lot of sympathy for Scotty McClellan right now. And I know he's got reasons, this, that, and the other. But I'm having to wrestle with all that. I really am. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. It's Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
How are you?
Good.
It's so good to hear you.
Thank you. Good to hear you, too.
When you're not on. But I want to tell you how much I agree with you about what you're saying about McClellan.
Oh, yeah.
He just irritates me. In fact, I don't know if you've seen the petition, but there was a petition going around that all of the profits from his book should be given to make reparations in Iraq.
Yeah. Well, I see he's now said that he will donate a portion.
Yeah, I think it's 1% PFD.
Yeah.
You know. But I really don't want to see him make money off of this, only because, I mean, it's great that he finally stood up and spoke out. But like you, I cannot understand what took him so damn long. He should have saved millions of lives.
Yeah, his penance for this should be to give up the profits to this book.
Absolutely.
It's blood money.
He had it in his power to bring to light so many of the things that the American people still don't know.
Oh, yes.
You know, he had that in his power. I mean, I just have this vision of what would have happened if he had spoken up sooner. Oh, my, it would have been the bomb.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they would have made every effort to destroy him then, as they are now, but they know they've gotten away with it now, and it's not nearly as important. They would have gone after him like crazy, but I'm not so sure, and I know people think I'm crazy for saying this, I'm not so sure they wouldn't have, you know, he wouldn't have found himself floating in the Potomac. But,
oh, he would have committed suicide. He would have shot himself in the back of the head with his hands tied behind his back.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Sure.
And you know, unless people think we're kidding, I'm not kidding, and I know you're not either. I think the people are probably capable of that.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question in my mind. People that can kill hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians for money would have no problem killing Scott McClellan.
Oh, yeah.
No
oh, yeah.
problem at all. They would have no problem killing any of us, and we all know that guy.
Oh yeah,
we all know that.
I completely agree. I completely agree.
It's all about making money, and you know, that brings me to another topic, if I may.
Sure.
Bush came out with the stupidest, most ignorant statement of all time. He's lost money during his presidency. How could he lose money during his presidency? He doesn't have to pay for anything.
Well, first of all, are we supposed to all go, aww? Are we?
Yeah, he only got $700 million instead of $700 million.
He's lost money.
He's already got more money than he can spend in two lifetimes.
Boy, that's some big cojones there to make a statement like that as the President of the United States. He's lost money. Well, what a pity.
And I'll tell you something. I am not enamored with the Clintons anymore. I was at one time, but I have lost that. But I will say this for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton gave every dime that he earned as President of the United States to charity. Every single dime. He did not ever use any of that money.
Well, he's made a lot of money since, and I don't begrudge him that. I really don't.
I don't either.
Reagan did. Daddy Bush did. I'm sure a lot of them have.
Yeah, and you know, really, if I were president for 4 years, you better believe I'd want to make some money after it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's not a fun job unless you're George Bush. And then it's kind of fun because you get to play with people's lives. And, you know, I mean, you get people like Stephanie Miller calls him Puffy McMoonface McClellan.
Oh.
I love the name.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You get people like that who play along, you know, just to get this nice fat paycheck, and when it goes away, they sit and brood for a couple of years and then write a tell-all book. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for this guy.
No, I don't either. And you know, it really, it's if you've been to Washington much, and I have, and I've been around a lot of these politicians quite a little bit. I it's understandable. I know this bubble they're talking about. I've not been in it, but I've certainly witnessed it. They're treated like royalty, and I understand that they don't want to leave that and all. But sooner or later, doesn't your conscience overtake that and say, wait a minute, I'm involved in something that's terrible here? But
you know, that always comes up for me. It's like the thing with the torture, and you know, and they've got these guys, like, maybe they don't dream it up, but they're under direction, maybe not orders, but direction to quote soften them up.
Sure.
And they do these horrible things, and I can't help but think, at what point in time does your conscience kick in? You know, when do you say, wait a minute, this is wrong. I didn't learn this in kindergarten. I didn't learn this growing up. My mother wouldn't be proud of this. I don't feel good about doing this. At what point does that happen?
Well, I can tell you almost exactly when it happens. You know, we've had John Dean on the program several times, and John and I have discussed the authoritarian personality, and there's a certain number of people, and unfortunately, it's a pretty high number of people. We were talking about Nazi Germany, and a lot of people, if you permit me, a lot of people over the years, when Nazi Germany happened, don't have an understanding of how that happened and why that happened. And people, when I was younger, they made a statement one time, well, that could happen here too, and people said, no, that could never happen here.
It sure could happen.
Well, it could have, and I participated in an experiment in college. I was a paid participant, and I didn't know, I believe it was called the Milgram experience, but we were paid to go in the lab at Ohio State, and what they did, and maybe everybody's heard about this, but
yeah, I'm familiar with the study.
Yeah, they would put somebody, they would say that you had a guy, they'd put a control panel in front of you, and they'd say there was a guy in the other room hooked up to this electrical machine that you had in front of you, and you ask him a series of questions, and when he answered right, you didn't do anything, answered wrong, you're supposed to shock him. And so my buddy, I won't say his name, he and I both went down there, and we got paid, I think, $5 to do this each Saturday for about, I don't know, two Saturdays. First they told us what it was going to be, and then we went the second Saturday and did it. So we made a whole $10 off of this, which was a lot of money in those days. But anyway, so I asked the guy the question, and he gets it wrong, and I give him a little shock at this button, and the supervisor of us says, okay, now turn up the electrical intensity here, and next time he answers wrong, so to make a long story short, every time a guy answers a question wrong, you're supposed to shock him a little more, and finally, you know, gets up to the point where you think it's hurting the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not ever seeing this guy. He's behind. He's in another room, and you're not seeing him at all. And you probably know about this. I'm explaining to the audience. But the supervisor says, "Go ahead, keep doing it. I'm responsible, and I'm taking full responsibility for this."
Well,
You don't have the responsibility. I do. Just continue to follow my orders. Well, I finally said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I will not do this anymore. I don't care what you say. And I walked out. My buddy, he took it all the way to the end. And that, you know, for years, I didn't really understand what I had participated in there. Until John Dean and I were talking about one time. I think it's called a Milgram experience. And that there are a certain number of people that will follow orders and do what they're told no matter what. And that scares me.
That frightens me to death.
Yeah.
That just totally frightens me to death. I don't want to know, I don't want to think that my neighbor would kill me if somebody told them to.
Well, you've got a neighbor that would, I promise you. I'm not sure if they're across the road or right next door, but you've got one in the neighborhood that would. There isn't any question.
I'm sure, but oh my God, that's so creepy.
Yeah, I mean this wasn't a 1 or 2 or 5% thing. It was like 32% of the people, I believe, that would do anything they were told to do as long as someone else took the responsibility for it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, see, I've been a nurse for 35 years, and when I first became a nurse, I said that very day, if I ever injure a patient, I will quit nursing that day.
Mm.
And I'm still doing it, so apparently I've never injured anyone.
Yeah.
I have people, I'm a supervisor, and I have people working under me that I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for everything they do. And my license is on the line every minute of my 8-hour day.
Oh, yes.
But I wouldn't, of course, I wouldn't direct them to do anything harmful. But, you know, if I did, I would expect them to say to me, uh-uh.
Right.
I'm not doing that.
You're absolutely right. Well, it's unfortunately... And that's why, you know, we talk about that 28% that still follows Junior Bush and would do anything he asked him to do. Those are those people. Those are those people. They are in that 28%. Those people, that 28% are those people that would do anything they were told to do.
A lot of them are in Pastor Hagee's church and the Reverend Parsley's church.
Ah, yes.
I mean, they would not think twice about killing us because God told them, or whatever.
Yeah.
And yet they lay that trip on these Muslims.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Muslims will kill you because you're the infidel.
Yeah, they're all killers. Every one of them.
Yeah, they're all crazy, and they hate us all. And
yeah.
Christians are wonderful, and they're right. And I so want to tell Pastor Hagee that gluttony is a sin. I
Bastard.
Don't want to tell that fat bastard.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a sweetheart, he is.
Oh, he's horrible.
Yeah.
Now, see, somebody like that wouldn't think twice about throwing a, well...
Anything for the cause.
I'll see ya.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. I don't know what she thought I said. I didn't say anything about anyway, that ended abruptly. Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the show. And we'll want to give you a little example of how aware of things that Johnny Sidney McCain is. Did you hear this from him yesterday? Keep in mind the time frame he's talking about here.
And we are a united party. We are a united party. We've got to energize the party. We've got a lot of work to do, my friends, in a little straight talk. But I guarantee you that if we do everything right, and we can and we will, I will win in January, and I will be the next president of the United States with your help and your support.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music. Billy Shears. Inside Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse.
And the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous someday.
Jackson Browne, World in Motion. Good tune, real good moon. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director here on the Guy James Show. Don't forget to listen to Billy Shears' show on Saturday night. You'll be glad you did. You'll find out Billy's got a good ear for music, really good. And you know what? He's a great guy, too. Great guy. I've broken bread with he and his lovely wife, and just terrific people, let me tell you. Terrific people. I can't imagine anybody not liking Billy and Maria. No, nobody. Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have all of you along with us. Big day here in the Democratic primary, South Dakota and Montana. Maybe this thing will get wrapped up tonight. Maybe not. Many people think Obama will go over the top now tonight, and some people are saying that's the end for the Hillary campaign, and maybe she'll say something to that effect tonight or tomorrow. Then others are saying, no, she's going to hang on till the convention and see if they can twist the arms of some superdelegates and swing it the other way. Well, I hope not. I hope it's over with. Let's get on with it. Let's get on to it. Let's get to the main event. Want to send out our good wishes to Senator Robert Byrd in West Virginia, hospitalized yesterday, and of course our very best wishes to Senator Ted Kennedy. You would not believe the hate mail. I should have brought some of it up with me to the studio today. Hate mail in the local newspaper here, letters to the editor from people calling Ted Kennedy names, and I don't know. Man's 76 years old, been a senator for how long now? A distinguished senator. I believe that Ted Kennedy will go down in history as one of the top three or four great senators that we've ever had in this country. There's, I'm not saying that from a partisan point of view. The man has a very, very distinguished career in the United States Senate. I don't know how anybody could argue with that. I really don't. He's had his personal problems. Many people have had personal problems. Maybe he's had more than most, but the man is sick. He's evidently come through the surgery yesterday very, very well. Our thoughts and prayers are with him, and hope he has a speedy and lasting recovery. Senator Edward M. Kennedy from Massachusetts. I hear he's up walking around and conversing with people, and also that's a good sign. So Robert Byrd and, well, as it would happen, Robert Byrd and Ted Kennedy, the two most senior senators, both hospitalized at the same time. My goodness. Hadn't thought about that until just a moment ago. Heard on the news, 5 months in a row we've lost jobs. 5 months in a row. But we're not in a recession, officially, you know. Do remember that. We're not in a recession. I love it. This is the time of year every year that gets me hot and bothered over an event that takes place in Washington, D.C. And I'll tell you what, don't misunderstand what I have to say about it. That AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the AIPAC convention or seminar, whatever the hell they call it, I get so damn mad watching that every year that I can't stand it. Why do I watch? I don't know. But here we are having all the American politicians. You should see it. Have you seen it? The representatives and the senators just falling all over themselves to pay homage to Israel. I've asked before, and I will ask again, and I've discussed this with many people many different times. What is it exactly that causes AIPAC to be so powerful in Washington, D.C.? What is it exactly? Exactly what is it that we owe Israel? Exactly why do we consider them an ally? Why haven't they given back the land that they took? They've been defiant of the UN resolutions against them over that. And we've backed them on it. no matter what. The rest of the world thinks they're wrong, but the United States stands by them on that issue. Always. Why do we pander to them? Why is every representative and senator on their knees to Israel? They act like they're afraid to do anything without the okay from Israel. That's the way I see it. That's the way it is. And this is one powerful group. How much money have they spent lobbying the Congress of the United States of America? How much? Do we know? Be interesting to know the total. I should look and probably could find it. I'm too lazy to look it up. This is a nation that condemns people for terrorism, and this is a nation that by and large got started by being terrorists themselves. Sometimes people forget that. They forget the bombing of the King David Hotel. They forget the broken promises by the British to the Palestinians and other people in that area. I think it's wrong. I absolutely think it's wrong. Everybody should have their say, but there's a little bit overbalanced, I think. Way too much on their side. Way too much. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to call. And let's head on over to the phone here. Hang on just one moment here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, that was fast. This is Dave up in Humboldt County, California.
Hi, Dave, how are you?
Not bad at all, and I was going to try to pose the answer that has been shared with me about why all the politicians are head over heels to be able to do the bidding of Israel. And that is that I understand that some long time ago they discovered a reality, and that is that America has some of the finest politicians that money can buy. And so Israel began showing up with lobbyists with nice clean envelopes full of money, thick envelopes, and say, we would like you to vote to send several billion dollars in aid to Israel. It's coming up, and we'd like you to vote for it. And the Congress member accepts the envelope and says, yes, indeed, I will vote for what you want. Are you sure you wouldn't like to buy a couple million more while you're in my office? And that's the way it works. And then months later, after all these congressmen have voted to send billions of dollars to Israel, they show up with another nice clean envelope saying, we would like you next week to vote to forgive Israel their debt. And the Congress member accepts that envelope and says, thank you, yes, I will be more than happy to vote to forgive Israel their debt. And then, so this is the way it's been working. They have a lot of money to play with because they're using the same money. I hope this is making sense because this is the way I understand it works.
Well, that's how it does work, Dave, and it amounts to $500 per year per citizen for every citizen of Israel. $500 a piece. And, you know, that's crazy. It really is.
Now, they can use a lot of that money to come up with the most powerful military in the Middle East, to be able to have nuclear weapons and to be able to have high-powered cannons and flamethrowers and everything. And the rest of the Middle East, for the most part, is stuck with sticks and stones, and they don't have that kind of power. So.
That's exactly right. It's totally lopsided. And I still don't understand. I am a student of history, and I do know a lot about this, I think. Maybe obviously not enough because it's still a mystery to me, but as to how they get away with it. I mean, I understand what you're talking about, the mechanics of it, but they get away with it. And it's you're right. It is nukes against sticks and stones, and they've totally subjugated their neighbors. The Palestinians, this latest thing about, I don't know if you read about the Fulbright scholarships that were going to be denied to the Palestinians because the Israelis weren't even going to let the kids out to come study in America. I see they've rescinded that, and the United States has once again offered the Fulbright scholarships to some Palestinian kids, but whether or not the Israelis are going to let them out is still up in the air. A tragedy.
Well, I think that certainly the Arabic nations have learned, again, that America has some of the finest politicians that money can buy, and
they
understand how it works, and so...
Well,
and I guess some of the other countries over there are learning also. If we want the support of the U.S., then we have to buy it.
Well, let's face it, Martin Marietta and Halliburton and other countries have discovered we've got the finest politicians that money can buy, too.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed they have. And I think we're seeing it and feeling it in so many ways. And how do you change that? How do you get the Congress member to say, as you know, you with your little accept the $10 and torture the prisoner, how much does it take to say, Congressman, stop doing what you're doing? Don't be supporting the brutality that you're supporting by throwing this money this way.
Yeah.
I think there's more than one view here. I think if we had Mark and the third party on this line, that he'd be seeing it a bit differently. But
oh yeah, we're going to have a debate on it here some of these days. Mark and I have talked about it. We're gonna have a debate on it some of these days. We agree on most things, but not on that. So
I'll look forward to that day because two of the best minds I know of would be exchanging some views.
Well, you talk about a great guy. Mark is just one heck of a guy. I see he's not in the chat room now, so I can talk about him. he's a hell of a guy. Just personally, you wouldn't want to know a nicer fellow, and smart and engaging, and he's a go-getter, and Mark is a very, very likable guy, very, very much so. Hey, Dave, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Thank you for everything, Guy.
Thank you. Bye now. Hey, I do want to take a moment, and I hate to do this, but I must. I do want to take a moment to remind everybody, and I do in a very casual way sometimes, that this is a listener-supported program. And it like I said, it pains me to even say anything about it because I know how everybody's out raising money right now and for everything, and I know how difficult it is for people right now just getting by for many people. But to those of you who can, we would very much appreciate you helping out the Guy James Show. This isn't something that we can do free. It costs money for equipment and upkeep and the phone systems and all that sort of thing. It costs money. And some of you do contribute to the program, and frankly, most do not. And every once in a while, we give the list of people who do. But and we're ever so grateful to the people that do help the program. But it's come to the point where the piggy bank for the show is the piggy's little belly there is very, very empty, and We would appreciate your help very, very much. You can go to our website, theguyjamesshow.com. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com. There's a place on there where you can donate in PayPal. And, of course, if you don't want to trust PayPal, the address of the studio is on there as well. But we are at a point, and I want to make this perfectly clear, we are at a point where we cannot continue to do this on the funding that we've been getting lately. So it is a matter of survival for the show, and if you can help, why, we'll appreciate it very, very much. Okay? So, again, that's theguyjamesshow.com. It is at a critical point, and it is actually a question of whether or not the program can continue. Theguyjamesshow.com, and our address is on there, PayPal's on there. So if you can help out, we'd appreciate it very much. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to join the program, I always appreciate your calls. I saw something interesting today as a born and raised farm boy. The UN is saying that world food production needs to increase 50% by 2030. Folks, that's only 22 years, and we need to increase food production by 50%. I wonder if that's even possible, given the amount of tillable land that there is in the world available. 50%. There are those who like to say that, they want to get rid of chemicals in farming. Well, I don't think Don't think you can. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to expand more on the AIPAC thing.
Please do.
One of the things that Israel does a lot of time is basically fund a lot of schools, especially here in New York area. It's like their money is everywhere.
Yeah.
AIPAC. Everywhere. You can go to anything. And, you know, it's like, again, besides having the politicians in the pockets, they have, and I'm talking on every level of government, every level, state, local. Israel has more spies in this country than in the history.
Well, they've been caught twice that I know of, and that distresses me greatly. It really does. I can't understand. I've never been able to understand, to my knowledge anyway, of any country that's been called our ally over the years. I've never known another one of our allied countries to get caught spying on us. And Israel has at least twice that I know of. Confounds me a little.
Yeah, well, you know, that's all I had to say. You know, I want to make it short. I'm going to try and put something in the coffers.
Hey, thanks.
No problem, buddy.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Ah, yes. We'll get together and talk about that with Mark some of these days. We agree on so much politically and disagree on so little, but that's one of the issues we disagree on. So we'll get together and slug it out someday. Well, I wouldn't want to slug it out with Mark. I like him too much. We got time for probably one more call, 866-546-5254. I was going to get into this primary thing today, and I never actually got around to it, on how I think the Democratic primary process is so terribly screwed up. I mean, just terribly screwed up. It's as though you got the committee together and say, now listen, I want you to sit down and figure out the worst possible way that we could run a party primary in 2008. That's almost what had to have happened, in my opinion, because I just cannot see how it could be any worse than it has been. The states with caucuses, the states with caucuses and primaries, the way the votes have been divided, the percentages. I don't know. I'm in favor of having winner take all in a state, just like it is in a general. Winner take all, putting the states in groups, perhaps, what do you say, maybe six groups? Wouldn't 6 weeks of primaries be enough? And put them geographically grouped so that the candidates wouldn't have to travel from one side of the country to the other. You know, you can spend 6 weeks traveling through, what, California, Arizona, New Mexico, maybe, you know, a group there, and the Midwest, maybe Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois is another group, whatever. And I'm just talking off the top of my head about what states belong where. But put it in six, seven groups maybe, and get it over with in 6 or 7 weeks in the spring, and then just get on with it. But it has taken a Philadelphia lawyer to sit down and try and figure out how some of these primaries and caucuses have been run and how they've delegated the votes, how they split up the votes. It borders on absurd. Well, it is absurd. It doesn't border on it. It is absurd. And I don't know very many people in the Democratic Party right now that doesn't think this particular way of running a primary has definitely run its course. I understand some of the reasons and why they did it, is getting certain proportions of ethnic and all that figured out, but it's just been ugly. It's just been ugly. For example, what did I do with that? I had a list sitting here. The way they've split up the votes in some of these states, it's just absolutely ridiculous. What did I do? And naturally, I'm looking for that list. In Iowa, the decision of the voters, Clinton won 51% to 45%, but I mean in Nevada, what am I saying, in Iowa. Clinton won amongst the voters 51-45%, but Obama ends up with 50% of the delegates in Iowa. Obama got 38% of the caucus voters, Edwards 30%, Clinton 29%, and Obama ends up with 60% of the delegates. Who thought that up? And it doesn't make any difference. I'm not even talking about favoring one or the other here. I mean, it's just idiotic the way it is. In Texas, Clinton got 51% of the vote. Obama got 47% of the vote. But Obama ended up with 51% of the delegates. And it just goes on and on and on like that. The Washington caucus, Obama 68%, 31%, to Clinton's 31%, but Obama ends up with 51% in the primary, Obama only won by 5%. And in the caucus, Obama won by 37%. And Nebraska had a caucus and a primary. Obama won the caucus 68-32%. But Obama only won the primary 49-46. So it just goes on and on and on like that, where the delegate count, if you got a chance to take a look at this, it's really ridiculous. Really ridiculous the way they split them up. So, and it doesn't make any difference to me which candidate I'm talking about there. It's just crazy the way they've done this. Not only has it made the party look bad, it's confused so many people, it's disenfranchised some people, and it's caused this ugly mess that we've had this year. And it's not that ugly. Wouldn't have had to probably go on this long. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I do want to remind you once again, do want you to remember what I was saying about it being a listener-supported program. We could sure use your help at this time on that. It's down to a critical point. It really is. And you can go to theguyjamesshow.com and help out there. Tomorrow we will talk more about this, about the media. And, of course, we'll talk about the primary results that take place tonight and whether or not we have any big news tonight that Hillary concedes. I don't think you will hear that tonight, but whether or not she announces that she's accepted the fact that Obama goes over the top, maybe he will go over the top tonight, and it could be some interesting events take place this evening. So we'll have that to talk about tomorrow, and we'll have more to talk about on this disastrous primary process that the Democrats put forth. Sometimes Democrats get just a little too smart for their own britches, and it doesn't turn out so well. And believe me, this is one of those times. Thanks for listening. It's so good to be back with you. And we were in New York for a few days on personal business, and last week Bob was out, and we didn't have the live programs. It's I understand Bob is on the mend. In fact, I listened to his program last night, and so stay tuned for Mark Levine, always a great program. Mark's one of the smartest guys around, and always a good show. So stay tuned for that, and then Bob right afterwards. So thanks for listening to the Guy James Show today. Appreciate it very, very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Live from Washington, it's the Inside Scoop, with all the news the government does not want you to know. Now, here's the host of the Inside Scoop, Congressional Attorney Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Those of you that watch the show frequently know that I often devote an entire hour to a single issue, but sometimes there's so much news that the government does not want you to know that I have to try to cram it all into one show. I'm going to do my best. If you look here, I've got dozens of newspaper articles. I have clips. I have videos. There's a lot going on from the administration, hiding things. We find out from Scott McClellan speaking out on a number of issues. We find out that, of course, the administration did authorize torture. And now, in fact, they are busy punishing the judges that want to give a fair trial to people in Guantanamo Bay. A lot going on with the administration. In the presidential election, we have the Democrats still fighting amongst each other in the last breath of the battle between Obama and Clinton. We have John McCain making his own blunders on the Iraq War as his health issues come out. And everything from the Texas polygamy decision to another civil rights justice decision to a battle over the GI Bill, there's a lot in the news. And I'm going to try to address all of it I can, but it is the Week in Review, and that means that you listeners, can come in and join in the discussion. And all you have to do that is to call in. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And I encourage you, if there's something that I've missed in one of these topics, to give us your point of view. So I hope you'll call and do that. The first issue is the Democrats. And you probably know that the decision was made in Michigan and Florida to give each of the delegates half a vote. I'm proud of myself. I predicted this on the Inside Scoop a month ago. It actually is, I think, the fairest solution. I respect those Obama supporters who say, well, Michigan and Florida, they went out of order. They should get no delegates at all. They weren't following the rules. I respectfully disagree with them. You've got to count Michigan and Florida. You can't have a nomination based on only 48 states. After all, the people did nothing wrong. Just because the Republican governor and Republican legislature of Florida tried to mess around with the Democrat states, and just because the Michigan legislature messed up, you can't blame the people. They should get half a vote, but not a full vote, because the rules were violated. It was done intentionally. And if we're ever going to get a handle on this process, we've got to make sure the people follow the rules. If there's one thing I hope we've learned from this entire process, it is that it's a mess. It's not any way to choose a presidential nominee. Whether it's the superdelegates or the fact that Iowa and New Hampshire always get to go first, it's not fair, and you're always going to have these states leapfrogging over each other. This year, we almost had the nomination battle begin in 2007, a year in advance. That makes no sense at all. That's why I advocate Congress stepping in. It's the only way when you have competing state interests. They need to step in, they need to set one primary schedule, and you know what?